Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time to get to, you know, the show that we unfortunately are not going to have for another week. This is our last one for a little bit. We have a little bit of a break.
Unfortunately.
That's nice. Yes, that's true. We get a break. Sad for everyone else. Hopefully. Hopefully it's
sure
sad for people.
Just dying.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be devastated and not know what to do with themselves. So, in other words, if you have questions, thoughts, comments that you are just dying to send us that you will not be able to handle.
Do it now.
For a couple weeks. This is it. This is the show. We have a break next week. The whole office shuts down for July 4th. So send us all those questions, thoughts, comments. Use that hashtag BucksLive.
You know, when you go on, when you leave your home for a vacation, you're really not supposed to publicize that fact because that's when people come and rob you. So you just set up all of one buck in your place for
to be robbed.
Criminal activity for a week.
Terrible.
Can't.
So if it happens, it's all my fault now. It's all my fault.
Yep.
So we were going to talk about the indoor facility because I know that you put out a story. Yeah, speaking of this building that we would really appreciate if nobody robbed. You put out a story about the indoor facility.
Well, I guess some details were given to Rick Stroud and the Tampa Bay Times, and they wrote a nice story because it's going to be such a big deal. And we just kind of added some pictures and directed people to that story. We'll have more about it when it's time to open.
Right.
But we know, there's plenty of details we can talk about right now.
Yeah, so before this, we'd really just kind of known the indoor was happening, but we didn't really know what that was going to look like and all the stats about it. We can kind of see it out the window right now.
It's going up so fast.
It is crazy.
I guess it has to.
Yeah.
That's, it's supposed to be ready in September.
Exactly. So now that we know a little bit more, tell us some of the details about it and what fans especially will want to know.
Well, it's something that the Buccaneers have needed. And, you know, sometimes these things just take some time. It's not like everybody's been ignoring or not agreeing that something like that would be very useful. But now is the time, and it's happening. We'll celebrate because going forward is going to be a nice compliment to the Buccaneers' efforts to be competitive and to win championships. It's 96 feet high at the apex, so you'll be able to punt and kick and pass. Full field turf, like their newest type of field turf that minimizes injuries. It'll be air conditioned. There's seats for 3,500 people in there, or there will be when it's done. And so in subsequent years, it's not going to be ready for training camp this year, but in subsequent years, that's where you hold training camp. So it'll be a lot more comfortable for everybody.
Yeah, we are pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. And then they can use it at any time they want during the regular season, probably use it a lot during the first half of the year when it's still very hot and humid, and also there's a lot of rain through September, August and September, you know, that kind of dies off. But sometimes it's still really hot here in like October or November.
Yeah.
And it's one of those scorching days. You take it in there. They'll probably do most of their walkthroughs in there because that's an easy half an hour to keep the guys out of the sun. Obviously, you have three very nice, well-manicured grass fields. You're still going to use them quite a bit, but now you got both options.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much it really matters, but people also point out, you know, you're playing Atlanta, you play New Orleans. This year we play in Minnesota. You're going to be playing on turf games during the year. So maybe if you want to practice on turf before that turf game, it might help you get acclimated to it beforehand.
Right, and you mentioned that part about the turf with the injuries. In case people don't know, there is a bit of a statistic where turf does cause typically more injuries than grass, but then now you mentioned there being a different type of turf.
Well, I think artificial turf through the years has probably rightfully gotten a bit of a bad reputation, but it's been improved quite a bit. I mean, I think about the reputation for Philadelphia's field and, people tearing their ACLs and things like that. Obviously when you have those sort of issues through the years, people work on improving it. So
right.
I think it's not really in terms of causing more knee injuries and things like that because by your feet sticking and stuff like that. I don't think that's that much of an issue anymore, but there's a difference between running on field turf every day and running on grass. So
mm-hmm.
I think grass is still favored if you have that option.
And that's where the balance comes in of prepping you for those games but not risking unnecessary injury.
Day.
And, and that's always the balance
right. That
is nice that now we'll have those options.
Yeah, you're going to be able to do it however they want to. They're going to be able to do whatever percentage they want to in and out of the building, but now you can do it. And it's right there. I mean, it's an easy walk for the players. It's, when we'd have those, Wednesdays in September when it's pouring and you'd hate to, you can't really lose your Wednesday practice. We're going down to the Trop.
Yeah.
So that's a drive and it's a hassle and this is going to take care of all that.
Infinitely easier, mm-hmm. for sure. And there's even some little, picnic tables and areas outside.
There'll be a whole
fans.
Patio
yeah.
area, so I think both inside and out in front of it is going to be a nice place for events. I would suspect we'll have a lot of events there. So lots and lots of people, one way or another, are going to get to use that facility, not just Bucks players and coaches.
That's pretty cool. And I mean, Coach Cutter's talked about how he's noticed and just hearing from other people that he's talked to around the league that when they're in very hot places that you can tell that it takes a toll mm-hmm. on players over the course of a year.
Yeah, I agree
but
with
I think
that.
I used to believe that it'd be an advantage that the Bucks would be used to mm-hmm. being in the heat. But then, you know, they'd play teams like a Minnesota here mm-hmm. in September, and you'd just assume,
yep.
oh, they're not going to be able to handle it. Right. But I guess it's more that, you know, any one day people can kind of deal with it, but yeah. over the course of a season, it can actually
right.
take a toll.
And there's that has always been the line that the Buccaneers have used. I've been here for a couple decades, and we've always said that, no matter what coaching staff and management, that we do believe that there is an advantage to getting used to this heat, especially when you're talking about, like, the third and fourth quarter mm-hmm. in a September game. That's still true, but like you said, you still don't want your guys to get worn out over a course of many weeks of doing that.
Right. That makes sense. All right. Well, we are going to spend a lot of the rest of this show talking about the position depth, that especially this time of year, that is a big topic of discussion, is less about starters and more about just those bubble guys, who's going to make the roster, those battles to be watching in training camp. And you actually have some stories that have been going up on mm-hmm. the website, one position group at a time, looking at the depth of right. those. So we thought we'd, in conjunction with those on the website, so if anything else we don't talk about in here, people can go check out those stories. But I think the first one that went up was linebacker.
Yeah, I think I wrote it all as one story, and then we decided to just reveal it one at a time. And I had took 11 positions. I didn't do specialists like punter, kicker, long snapper, because depth isn't really an
not
issue
really.
There.
Yeah.
There's competition this year at kicker,
but
you're not trying
depth.
To find depth. You're
right.
trying to find
fourth
one guy
string
each.
Kicker.
So I did a total of 11 positions. I split up the defensive ends and the defensive tackles, and I split up guards and centers and tackles. Guards and centers together and tackles. So it turns out to be 11 positions.
Okay.
And just the concept was every team. You know, even a team with good depth, which the Buccaneers feel like they are now, every team has good depth at some spots and not as good. And I mean, even the New England Patriots surely have some spots that aren't as deep as other ones.
Right.
And they address those things, like wide receiver this year. You see them addressing that in the offseason. You know, the Atlanta Falcons, they had a great team and a great season, but they really didn't have a lot of edge rushers. They didn't have a lot of defensive defensive line depth in terms of rushing the passer. So you saw them spend a first-round draft pick on that. You saw them bring in a defensive lineman in free agency. So building a roster is not there's not a beginning date and an end date to it. It didn't start on March 10th this year, and it doesn't end on September 11th or whatever the first 10th, whatever the first day is. It's an ongoing, never-ending process, and it ebbs and wanes at certain positions. And so I can look at the Buccaneers roster right now and go, okay, I think I agree with what a lot of people are saying. This is a deeper, more talented roster we've had in years. But still, you can say, okay, we've got tons of running backs right now, but maybe we're not quite as deep at linebacker.
Right.
And that kind of gives you an idea when you're looking forward. Like I got a question for a mailbag the other day asking me about drafting a cornerback next year in the first round, which you remember I was kind of beating the drum for that this year. I still think that's going to be a position that would be a very likely, if you were predicting, that'd be a very likely one, because next year, if this team still has a lot of good depth and isn't, and maybe we're picking in the bottom half of the first, you know, maybe 20th or 30th, you may not be tied into a position that you have to draft, kind of like we were this year. And so maybe you can make a pick for the future a little bit, and you look at the positions where you're not so deep, and one of those is cornerback. But to get back to the question you asked me like 3 minutes ago, yes, the first one, which means it was one I ranked 11th out of 11 in terms of depth, is linebacker.
Okay, so it is a ranking for you in terms of
yeah.
the strength of the depth.
Right, so if you want to start from the bottom, I would say start from the bottom. Of the 11 positions that I separated them out into, I felt like linebacker was our position with the least depth. And we're
okay.
going to talk about them. But I would say the bottom three, which we'll get to gradually here, it was a little tough. You could have put them in just about any order. But the one I put at the bottom was linebacker, because you've got those two great starters, Levante David and Quan Alexander. But you're going to be starting somebody with virtually no experience at the third spot, strong side. And then the rest of the depth at that position is mostly inexperienced players. I know we're running out of time in this segment. We can get back to it.
Okay, well, yeah, that's
put linebacker at the bottom.
Yeah, that's what we'll do in our next segment here, is we're going to start with some of these position depth and continue to send in those questions, whether it's about the depth or the indoor or anything else going on with the Bucks. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
The Buccaneers are trending upwards, and they re-signed guys they wanted, and they left enough room to bring back all the key pieces from this year.
This is great for Deshaun. Now you put him in a mix with Jameis and Mike Evans, I feel like this guy is about to explode.
Deshaun Jackson, touchdown!
The Buccaneers had a really good day. They also signed Chris Baker from the Redskins, who's a good defensive lineman. People are excited about Tampa.
This is the most exciting Buccaneers offense in the franchise history.
They're so talented and they're so young, and you almost think if there's just one more piece, are they going to find that one more piece in the draft that can change everything?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the only team in the NFL that can say every single guy they drafted probably should have been or could have been off the board by the time they got the player. To get O.J. Howard at 19 is absurd.
They get a top five prospect to a team that was already going to be very explosive on offense.
Everyone in the NFC need to look out. This is dangerous. Yeah.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. If you missed our first segment, we are going to be talking about some of the depth at positions and where Scott ranked how deep each position is on that. And some of the stories are already up on Buccaneers.com if you want to read some of those. And then, of course, in the final segment, we're going to get to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use the hashtag BucksLive. All right, so for now, we talked about how you had rated linebacker as the weakest as far as depth, right. Not weakest
obviously,
position.
Obviously, some great players.
Yeah,
there.
Before everybody decides
yeah, I
to...
think we're going to be fine, as right. an example, linebacker, because I think they're going to find a good starter out of Devontae Bond or Kendall Beckwith or whatever, and we'll love the other two starters. It's just if you have to plumb into your depth a little bit, that's where you get to all pretty much inexperienced players
so
in terms of starting on defense.
So that really you think could end up being where those positions are decided more based on special teams or things like that, and mm-hmm. then you could see if there are injuries or yeah. if you do have to go into there, that could be an area that is
yeah.
a little bit weak.
I think it's probably likely that most of those guys that would be your depth at linebacker and whoever isn't this, like let's say it's we go with Devontae Bond as a strong side linebacker. Then the rest of your guys include Bond in that, but Kendall Beckwith, Adarius Glanton, Cam Lynch, Jeff Knox from the CFL. Pretty sure I'm forgetting one guy.
Richie Brown.
The couple mm-hmm. of the Riley Bulla
guys. Yeah, Riley Bulla.
I would bet that all, if not all of them, probably most of them are probably pretty decent special teams players. So you'd feel comfortable special teams wise with most of those guys. So maybe. What would actually swing it is which of those guys looks like you, if you had to put them in the starting lineup, you'd be most comfortable
could be
with
game
that
ready.
Happening. And it's hard to tell right now. I don't mm-hmm. know how you can, especially when they haven't hit each other yet.
Right.
It'll
that's
be
one of those
easier
positions.
To tell in training camp and in the preseason games. But that's not to say, in a lot of these situations, we're talking about how does the depth look on paper? Because what if, I don't know, let's just pick one. What if Richie Brown is great? You know, what if the guy from Canada, Jeff Knox, is a really good player, and you realize this, and then you realize, okay, we do have pretty good depth. Hmm. But you can't necessarily count on that right now. So, to me, since it's so unproven, that's where you're worried about depth.
And that could be one of the positions that maybe the delay in making cuts could be really helpful.
Well, yeah, sure.
That seems like that could yeah. be one of the groups. All right, so what was your 10th ranked?
Yeah, I think it was tackle. As I said before the last break, cornerback, tackle, and linebacker were my bottom three, and I would be comfortable with ranking them in any of the order in those last. You know, when you talk about tackle, you've got your starters, Damar Dotson, who's proved over many years that he's a good player, and Donovan Smith, who I think internally the coaches and administrators really like him and think he's going to be a very good player. He improved quite a bit over the second half of last year, and so I think that the Bucs are satisfied with their starting positions at tackle. But behind that, with the veteran Gus Gerchrist now retired, you know, you're the guy who would be next up is Leonard Wester, who played a little bit last year, and we like him a lot, and we think he's got a future in the NFL, but you can't claim that that's great depth when you're talking about an undrafted free agent a year ago who's only played a handful of snaps. And then beyond that, you're talking mostly like undrafted free agents, rookies. And this is not uncommon on the offensive line. It's really not often that you build a lot of veteran depth. And we have a lot of it, as we'll talk about later, on the interior part. But on the edges, you know, you saw at the end of last year, we actually, when we needed a spot start at right tackle, we actually moved Kevin Pamphile out there in the New Orleans game. And if you want to count that as depth, it gets a little bit better. But on paper, it doesn't look like a really deep position.
That makes a lot of sense. When you said corner.
Corner would be the other one.
Is this part of why you were advocating for that as your top
draft
pick?
I just think, you know, Brent Grimes had a great season and probably will again. We really like Vernon Hargraves. He's only getting better. But beyond that, right now the leader for your third outside cornerback is Ryan Smith, who spent a lot of last year playing safety and hasn't played a defensive snap in the NFL yet. They are very high on him, so that's good. But you can't say that that's great depth
right
until it's proven. Josh Robinson didn't play a snap of defense last year. You know, he's a veteran guy who started in the NFL before. You like that, but he didn't play at all on defense. And then at the nickel spot, you got, and we've talked about this a lot, Judaje Burima and Robert McClain and Javion Elliott, but I think you're keeping two of those guys at the most and potentially only one. So, again, it's like linebacker. You really like two starters, and you've got some promising young players, but you can't really call it depth until it's somewhat proven.
Yeah, so that really seems to be it. Is it's not about potentially not having depth. It's that we just don't know yet.
Yeah, it's
that it's a
be
lot
developed.
Of unproven guys,
yeah.
young
opinion,
guys. It just seems like we, and especially when, again, like you said, we haven't gotten to see anybody hit yet.
Yeah.
Those are the positions in particular that, and that's what's so unfortunate about those being the positions that you're trying to figure out the depth so much. They're the ones that almost need to be hitting the most to really show it.
Especially at linebacker.
Yeah, corner not as much because you can at least see a little bit of those one-on-one drills and everything. But, yeah, any of those linemen and linebackers, they're the ones that they're trying to prove themselves, and they're being told you can't actually do what you need to do to prove yourself.
So that'll change 3 days into training camp when the pads go on.
That's true. All right, so you said those are your three kind of interchangeable. What was the one that was?
So we're starting from the bottom here. So
now this
would be
like middle
the fourth
tier.
Least. And I think this one might be the first one that might surprise some people, but that's where I put wide receiver. Now, this is a position where we made a huge splash in free agency, and we drafted a player in the third round. So you'd think, wow, that's a lot of depth.
Mm-hmm.
But you're adding that to a position that basically had Mike Evans last year. You got Adam Humphries in the slot. Vincent Jackson is not here any longer. And if you start counting where you got right now, you've got some pretty solid sure things for the 53-man roster, barring injury, and Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson –
we're going to do that so much.
Chris
times
Godwin, the third round pick, and Adam Humphries, who's proven himself in the slot and is having another good offseason. I think those four are near locks.
Right.
You tell me after that who's the next one or two receivers.
Yeah.
It's a lot of guys. There's reasons to like them, but you still don't know. You know, Dante Dye, Josh Huff, undrafted guys like Bernard Reedy, Freddie Martino, Thomas Spurbeck, the rookie. You're probably filling. If you keep six guys, which sometimes you do, sometimes you keep five, if you're keeping six, you're probably filling those fifth and sixth spots with guys who have just a handful of catches in the NFL or none at all. And I think lots of times people become convinced at this time of the year and in training camp when one or two guys has a couple really good days that you got all these receivers and how are you possibly going to cut down to five or six? And when it comes down to it, it's pretty easy to cut down to five or six, and you're kind of looking elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Again, just like I said about the last two positions, this flips on its head if, Freddie Martino takes another huge step forward.
Right.
Or, hey, the guy from Canada, Darrell Walker,
who's
Mike Evans' former teammate at Texas A&M. But you still need those guys to do something before you can call it depth.
Right. Well, that's going to get us through some of those four positions. We're going to get to the rest of those whenever we get back after our break and keep going through that depth leading up to training camp. And we want to hear all of your thoughts, obviously, as well. So that next segment after we take this quick break is going to be hearing from you. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. It's time for our final segment. We're going to keep looking at a couple of these position groups as far as depth and also get to some of your Twitter questions. You can keep sending them in throughout the segment. Use the hashtag BucksLive. So we left off. We'd done the four position groups. Yeah. So what was your – you said that now we're sort of in another little grouping.
A lot of
grouping.
These ones – yeah, these ones in the middle, I honestly, there was a sort of arbitrary, I mean, between like four and seven. I had – tight end, defensive tackle, defensive end, and quarterback, you know, they're kind of just all in the middle.
Okay.
They all have fine depth, but there's reasons to be a little concerned.
Right.
Just as an example, defensive end could end up, which I had ranked sixth, could end up being one of the deepest spots on the team if Noah Spence has the breakout everybody expects, if Jacquees Smith comes back as strong as everybody's hoping,
right.
If Robert Ayers is more fortunate throughout the season with his injury luck this year, if Will Golston does succeed in his efforts to be more of a pass rusher, you could end up thinking that you have a ton of depth there, but there's just too many ifs right
that
now.
That is a lot of ifs.
So I'm going to
so many of them are injury related that are just out of
you
their
can't
control. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. I mean, we can say all this right now, and a couple injuries happen, and it flips the whole list.
Yeah.
But right there at the top, I would say the position I have as I feel is like second deepest on the team is interior offensive linemen, guards, and centers. I mean, if you start the five guys that they've been running as the first team on offensive line during the offseason, you have both Evan Smith and Joel Howley as reserves.
Those guys have,
you know, just over the last few years, have tons of starting experience. Now, I'm not counting them out. They're going to be competing and trying to start. But if it's the other five guys, then that's your reserves. If somebody beats out, say, Kevin Panfil, then you have Kevin Panfil as a great reserve. Right? Same thing with J.R. Sweezy. If he doesn't hold on that spot, he's awesome, experienced reserve. And we haven't even talked about Caleb Beninak, who's a draft pick from last year that I think they like and they think is going to develop into a long-term guy. So there's just so much depth at the interior offensive line right now that you can arrange them a whole bunch of different ways and you can survive an injury or two.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about just of all the priorities, protecting Jameis.
Well, there you go.
And so of all the positions, you're excited to see some depth.
Yeah, running the ball a little bit better, too, this year.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that had to do with running back injuries, but if the offensive line performs better than it did last year, your running game will be better.
Okay. All right, we're going to get some of these Twitter questions. We got questions from two different Mikes. So Mike and Mike over here. The first one says, who are your favorite Bucs players of last season, one offense and one defense?
Mine? Yours?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for
ours.
Us.
I mean, are we talking about guys we like working with?
I don't know. I think, I don't know. They probably just mean favorite overall. I usually tend to ask that clarifying question when people will ask me. I'm like, well, do you mean on the field or off the field or both or what? You know, so.
Like, my favorite Buck of all time since I've been here is Rondae Barber. I enjoyed his game and also being around him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year. Well, I'd probably say Mike Evans. You know, he was probably our best offensive performer from game one through game 16.
Yeah.
And he's a pleasant guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And a guy you really root for.
That's a great
pick. I think
that
really cares about getting better. How about you on offense?
On offense, it's so hard. I am partial to the O-line in general. Like, for a lot of the stuff I do, especially with personality things, they're always great at that. So
Allie and Donovan.
I would say, it's so hard. Either the Allie and Donovan's obviously doing the radio show with them. I got to know them a lot better, and they performed great on the field as well, especially Donovan in that second half. But also probably Joe Hawley is up there. That he's fun, and I like that he was gritty on the field. Like, you knew, like, he was going to defend guys, and he was.
I thought it was quite a compliment when Dirk Cutter said, late in this offseason, he was talking about J.R. Sweezy. He's like, Bucs fans really like the way that Joe Howley plays the game. He's like, you're going to like J.R. Sweezy because he's a bigger guy who plays that same way.
Yeah,
so that was a real compliment to Joe Howley.
That is a really big compliment, which will be pretty great. What about on defense?
I just got to go with Levante David. I just what a great guy and just so easy to root for. And he's a guy that over the course of the season, if he's at the top of his game, is going to give you a handful of just huge plays, pick sixes and timely sacks and things like that. So he's probably my favorite defensive player right now.
I like that. I think that I might go with Clinton McDonald because he's just such a unique person in terms of his leadership on and off the field that he comes across like this older man, so distinguished and mature and like, and he calls everybody ma'am and sir and like does all the military work. And he just comes across like that rock, like that foundation of the team.
I was going to say the same thing. You know, you see the rot, you get draft picks and they're young guys, and you kind of sometimes think of these guys, the young ones, the newcomers as kids. Hey, we got the new kid on the team. Clinton McDonald's a man.
Yes, that is very true. I actually was really surprised to find out he was basically my age. Like, I almost thought of him as like, like way older figure. Than me. Like, yeah, like he's,
which,
you know,
means he's quite a bit younger
like
than
in his
I am.
40s is right. What I imagined. Right. And then I'm like, nope, he's my age. That's weird. And
he's,
I was like, I need to
mature.
I need to get more mature. Live up to Clinton.
I agree with that.
Like, oh, thanks. Yeah. That was where you're supposed to be like, no, you're fine.
No, you need to get a lot more mature.
I see how it is. And I'm just going to skip over that. We're going to go to Gerald's question. He says, do you think the Bucks are going to become more dynamic on offense this year?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that's the plan. You know, we added DeSean Jackson for big plays. You added O.J. Howard is a way more dynamic weapon at tight end than we're used to having. You know, so it's almost, unless everything we're planning doesn't work at all, it's almost a guarantee it's going to be a more dynamic offense. And hopefully having those weapons will help solve the one surprising shortcoming. It's probably not the perfect word, but Jameis Winston has had two so great years to start his career. Obviously, everybody acknowledges we need to cut down interceptions, but also surprisingly, knowing what we know about him, the deep ball hasn't been a strength, and I thought it would be. And I think with those additions, it'll get closer to being a strength. So, yeah, almost certainly it's going to be more dynamic.
Okay, the other Mike with a question asked, what do you see in Vernon Hargrave's future, and how are the coaches feeling about the defense as a whole unit going into this year?
Well, Vernon Hargrave's, if his offseason is any indication, it has a very bright future. And obviously they thought that. They were going to draft him at 9. They took a little bit of a risk and traded down two spots and drafted him 11. You know, he was the second, I think, cornerback drafted. Obviously, that guy's supposed to be a star in the league. And he had a good season as a rookie, in which it wasn't all roses and sunshine, but it improved as you would expect a rookie to do. And then he's just been dominating out there on the practice field. So he could be ready to take another big step forward. And then the defense as a whole, I think there's a lot of confidence based on how good the second half of the season was.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to know for sure that we're going to be able to duplicate that turnover barrage.
Right.
That's some teams can do that year after year, and some teams it goes up and down. If you can keep that level of turnover producing, this defense should be very, very good.
Okay. And we have like 10 seconds here, but the collector said, when is the public going
to
have a chance to, I know it sounds like a villain in a Marvel comic.
Exactly.
When is the public going to have a chance to tour the stadium and new facilities?
Well, the indoor facility, I don't think there'll be any tours right away because I think the moment it's open, we're going to start using it.
Right.
But that'll happen. I mean, we see people getting tours here all the time. Just be patient and it'll eventually get to be in there. And then you can get tours at Raymond James Stadium through TSA. Just go to their website. I think there's a link for it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. And we want to thank our lovely intern, Erin, for all of her work. This is her last show. So sad. Her internship is over. So she's the best and awesome producer. She's blushing behind the camera right now.
She's going to the Ravens.
It's pretty great. Going to the Ravens. So look at that. We're just letting her little
wings fly. So when we beat
the Ravens
next time we play them, she'll be sad.
Yeah. I love it. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.